This is Young with Words with me, Angaya Wemali. Thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning into this podcast. Today, my thoughts is just about something a little bit, it's not very serious, but just something to share. Yes, most of us, if not all of us, have siblings. And I hope that all of us are well right now as we are going on this month of February, the month that most have called it the month of love. So me, I'm here. Welcome to the podcast. So most of us, if not all of us, have siblings. And I'm hoping that even those of us who have siblings also have the privilege of even having both of your parents alive. Now, whether you have said it or not, most likely you have that one of your siblings that you believe is the favorite. Yeah, I know you might be just be quiet there, but in your mind you know, subconsciously, you know that if you're asked by anybody, say for example like the guys who ask upon town on the hard questions of relationships, if they asked you, by the way, in your family, who is the favorite one? Most of us, if not all of us, despite the fact that most of our parents have told us they love us equally, I am sure there is that one sibling of you as you point out and say that one is the favorite. When I was growing up, see, I have four other siblings. Now, while we were growing up, it was the simple theory is that the youngest is the favorite one. Now, my parents had a rule. The rule was, if something ends in the kitchen, for example, say sugar or salt or the cooking oil and things like that, if they end, you tell them before. So if most likely, since you're waking up in the morning, you're just going to use what has been there in the night. And so, most likely, if something ends, it ends the previous day. And so, our parents said, if you see it's almost coming to an end, or it has ended, you tell them before. So that when the morning comes, you're supposed to be making your tea or preparing yourself to go to school, it doesn't become an emergency. But you know, kids, yes, you might even be with them in church. We have served the Lord, we have gone to Sunday school, we have finished fellowship, you're now working with them home. We have passed several shops, including even supermarkets or big kiosks. We can see the thing that we need, the thing that is not there in our kitchen, but we don't know that we are seeing it until when the morning comes, when you realize, oh, there is no sugar. Oh, there is no milk. Now, at that point becomes an emergency. And since you're the older ones, you know, since the parents have said, and it's a rule that if something ends, you tell them prior, you have not told them. And the time when you're looking at them at the shops, they were not a priority. You don't even realize it. You don't have them in the house. You have just realized them in the morning. And since they become an emergency, you still need to tell them so that you can go to school. Now, at that time, the people who come in handy, for our family, the youngest was presumed to be the favorite. And so the favorite were the ones who were sent, would send our youngest to the youngest at that time would go, would like even coerce and give him or her the bribes. Go and tell the parents. Because if we, the oldest, the older ones, would go on to tell, most likely would get a whooping. Thank you. That was a very good principle that I believe I use it now, so that if, when I wake up in the morning and realize there is no this, it no longer becomes an emergency. I should have done it yesterday, not today. Thank you for that principle. And so, even now, I know all of us are old, so the youngest is no longer the favorite. And interestingly, if you have actually evaluated the person you have subconsciously believed to be the favorite, if you observe them carefully, you realize you think that they are favorite because of what they have acquired from their parents, from your parents, that is. So, for example, I've finished school, and then I'd have to go. Our parents said this thing that I thank God for them, but they will give you like the first phone so that you'd start from there moving on. If you lose it, that's none of their business. They started you out, so go on ahead. So, as you go and realize that the people who are younger than you, they're being given better phones than yours. And so you're like, wait, I'm not the favorite. The favorite is that one because they were given this. The favorite is that one because they were given this amount of money. The favorite is that one because of this and this and this and this. And most times, it's just we are grading them as the favorite because of what they have been given. That's basically how children look at things. Just evaluate your life stories. Even at work, the department that has been given a lot of things, the other departments believe that that department is the favorite one. Probably it's because they're like the key thing for the existence of the organization, but the others are not looking at it like that. They're like, they are the favorites because they are given this. Not realizing if they don't do that, they themselves won't survive. But I digress. And so yes, all of us who have siblings, if we are true to ourselves, you'll realize there is one of you who you believe that he or she is the favorite one. And especially if you have a family, say for example you are 5 or you're 10 or you're 7, and then they say if you are 7, there are like 6 boys and 1 girl, or 6 girls and 1 boy. The one who feels like who is like the odd one out seems the others would believe that that one is the favorite one. And so whenever they need something, most likely they would send that one so that they can easily acquire. It's like you are trying to find ways to easily get the things that you want. And the one that you can easily do that is the favorite one. If you ask, why would you believe that was the one that would be given? Because yes, he was given this, we asked for this, he or she went and asked, and we got it easily. Now, if we did that the same, most likely we won't get it. Most likely we think like that because we never did in the first place. We never asked. We just believed that because we asked her or him the first time, this like the doorway. If you want to get the next things, use him or her. Yes. That's the interesting thing about siblings. And I know several times our parents have been there sitting like there, we love you equally. We do all these things equally. You're like, you're just looking at them with a side eye like, no, you don't. When I was like this in school, when I had this discipline case, you came and you did this to me. When he or she did the same thing, you know, the same thing happened to them. So, and all those things. Now, I believe that the thoughts of a child have to go like that. And for some reason, it has transcended to adulthood, where people believe that the only way to get whatever they need from the people who are in authority, they have to follow the old rule, follow the favorite one. Use that person, even give him whatever he or she would want to get to you. So most likely even us as believers have applied the same concept to our pastors. So we're like, if I want something good from God, I should go through my pastor so that he can also pray to God for me, so that even as I pray, I can get the answers and then attribute it to my pastor praying for me. This is an interesting, weird part. I just heard from a preacher that I found very interesting. And actually, when the parents say that they don't have a favorite, they actually mean it. Yes. They actually mean that they don't have a favorite one. It's just that due to whatever they are, the one that you perceive to be the favorite, if you look at what they have been doing to acquire the point that they are the favorites, you realize there is something different in how you have been approaching them parents. So, most likely the one that you believe to be the favorite one, they sit with the parents a lot. They tell them their stories. They actually engage. They become like a pest, where they are with their parents. They are engaging their lives with the parents, and so they become the favorite because they are with the parents every day. They come home from school or from work, and they find the joy to tell them what has gone on with their school life. They share their lives with their parents. And so they look like the favorite. But, and this is the interesting thing, that even in friendships and even in relationships and all these things that are social, the person who is more engaging in other people's lives tend to acquire whatever they need easier than the others. Yes. So if you are not in this person's life continuously, even when you're even just because you're just occupying space, just because you've continuously been occupying their space every now and then, that, my friend, you become like the favorite person. So whenever they have something that they would say, for example, I'm a photographer. Now I've been sitting with several people who have families, who are starting families, who are in families, so they would have some events, say for example for their children, events for example for themselves, and all these things. Now most likely whenever they would want a photographer, they contact me like, hey Kevo, by the way, can you do this for us? We'll pay you this much, or how much do you charge? Can we do this? See, because I am in their space most of the time, whenever they have something that they would want, they would deem I can do, they would first consider me because I'm in their space. And so there's no such a scenario where there is a person who is favorite. And I use the Bible, and this I found from the picture of the service some time back, and was interesting. John the disciple, if you look in the book of John, he keeps calling himself the favorite disciple. There is no particular place in the Bible where Jesus said that John is my favorite. No. But this gentleman always carried himself, even to the point where this Jesus is being killed. He's still continuing calling himself the one most loved by Jesus. And he was in his space the whole time during the transfiguration where Moses and Elijah appeared. He was there with him. Even when he was being taken to the temple to be questioned, to be beaten, and all these crows and all the chicken crowing and all this, he was there. And because he was there, it would seem like he's the favorite one. And I believe that that's the approach that I believe in all of my heart, that whoever, even in my family, that if I'd want to be, to, I should call myself favorite of my part, because while we are several of us calling my father, he's not, when it comes to identity, he is my father. So when somebody asks me, what is your father like? I'll be like, he's like this, he's like this, like this, based on my experience on him, not based on what I've seen with others. And I believe that this is the same approach that we should have when it comes to God. Be in his space. And I believe that's what's the importance of prayer. My mom prays. Oh, wow. My mom prays. I believe that I've reached this far because of my mom and my grandmother. I'm telling you too much stories. Now, whenever we'd go home for vacation, say, for example, like dad has collected all of us, it's the August holidays, we'd go home for like a week or two, then come back. Now, whenever we reach, this is the interesting thing that my grandmother would do. Now, she would greet a person at a time, and each time she would be praying for this person. So if she's greeting me, she would hold my hand like for like 2-3 minutes, and this whole time she's not just holding it stagnant, she's shaking it and praying at the same time, praying for me at the same time, then going to the next. But when she reached to my mom, wow, she would stay there for 5 minutes and pray for her. And what I realized that is different, that I'm thinking about it. For us, it would be like, yeah, amen. But when it reaches my mom, as she's praying for her, my mom is also praying for her. And so the whole thing continues for 5-10 minutes. I'm like, hey, you're supposed to sit down and even go and do other things, but you're sitting here waiting for you to finish greeting each other. And I believe that all of us who call ourselves Christians, those of us who are into this faith, we have to reach a point where we interact with God like that, where prayer is not like something that you're doing for 5 or 10, because the whole idea, as I'm in his presence every day, my heart is changed, my interactions with him changes. Yeah, so eventually, after you have actually evaluated the whole thing, you realize there is nobody who is favorite to the parents. There is nobody who is favorite to God. But because these people whom we have deemed favorite to these persons, these offices, is because they are in the spaces every other day. Even in my home, there is that person, once we sit with my brothers and sister, we realize this one of us is the favorite. But it's not because that my parents are sad and say that she's the favorite or he's the favorite. No, it's because after I've sat down as I've been evaluating this topic today, I've realized it's because that this person in our family has been in the space the entire time. Even when they are wrong, when they are right, they would take time to tell their school stories to a parent. I do not do that. I find it hard to tell stories. But the person who we have deemed favorite in our home, after I've observed their walk, I've realized they are in their space the entire time. And so, because like that, whenever she has a need, wherever he has a need, it's more easily taken care of because he or she is in their space. I want to be that kind to my God, to be in his space the entire time. So I don't reach a point where I believe that they are the favorites. And it's not because they are the favorites. He has never said anywhere in his word that these people are more favorite to me. No. Except for one part, the Esau and me, and the whole thing is different. But the interesting thing about even in that story, from the book of Genesis, from the first time we're hearing stories about comparisons, that Abel and Cain. Cain was in his presence the whole time. He was joyful to be in his presence. Cain, on the other hand, was just doing it as a service. He was not doing it based on happiness, but based because he's been told, so therefore he needs to. And I believe that all of us needs to be in his space every other time. In one of the sermons I was listening today, this preacher said something interesting. In the book Revelations 3:20, the one that says, stand at the door and knock if anyone hears my voice. But actually, that verse is not about the non-believers. It's about us who believe. Us who have accepted him as Lord and Savior. That he's standing at the door and knocking. And once you allow him in, he'll not exactly take you what you want, but he'll take you that need that you have, that whatever you believe that you want no longer becomes important. Because the since you have allowed him in, he becomes your peace. He takes care of things because you and him are in communion, are in fellowship now and then. And so that's my thoughts for today. Instead of thinking about that God plays favorite, instead of thinking that your parents are playing favorites, how about you observe yourself? How about I observe myself, how I interact with my parents, how I interact with my God? And interestingly, the way I interact with my parents, I've evaluated and realized that it's the same way I have approached with my God. Back in college, I would only call my parents when I have a need. It's like, I need school fees. I need, say, rent. Say, I would need some food. That's when I'll call them. After that, we would not talk. Because I would say that because I have no stories to tell. And true, I do not have the stories to tell. But I need to change that from today and be in the space so that I wouldn't end up reach a point where I become a hard heart, feeling like they are the problem, feeling that they are secluding me. Well, in fact, they are not. It's my behavior, it's my character, it's my way of thinking that has made me believe that they have chosen another person instead, except of, and put me out. And yet, it's because of how I behave, how I interact with them. And that's my thoughts for today. Welcome to February, the month of love.